The Guardian.
If you're not a smoker, it may be hard to imagine the appeal of cigarettes. The idea of inhaling thousands of chemicals into your body just doesn't seem that tempting.
Nicotine, yes, is incredibly important, but there are a number of other things that become kind of pleasurable in their own right about tobacco smoking, the taste, the feel, and so on.
It's hard to wrap your head around the addiction if you haven't experienced it. Even more difficult to appreciate how hard it is to quit. Which brings us to one particular product making headlines in recent weeks. The benefits of electronic cigarettes are still hotly debated, but in a report released by Public Health England, scientists reaffirm that vaping is far safer than smoking. Public perception is somewhat different, though. According to the PHE, less than half of adults in Great Britain think e-cigarettes are safer than smoking.
I mean, ideally, of course, you wouldn't be inhaling anything. I mean, clean mountain air clearly would be better than vaping or anything else. But because almost all vapers are smokers or are ex-smokers, I think the comparison is very valid to compare vaping with smoking.
But how much do we really know about vaping and its risks? And should the NHS hand out e-cigarettes to help smokers quit, as the PHE report proposes?
And should I be, like, directly in front of this, or can I be like this? Because it's a bit weird not having
a... It is, yeah.
I'm Ian Sample. This is Science Weekly.
You know those kind of...
Yeah. To help me understand the difference between smoking cigarettes and vaping, I sat down with an expert.
I'm Lynn Dawkins, Associate Professor, Centre for Addictive Behaviours Research at London South Bank University.
Lynn is quite vocal on the benefits of vaping and, in the interests of full disclosure, has received research funds from e-cigarette firms in the past. She started by giving me a little history.
OK, well, e-cigarettes have been around in Europe and the UK since around 2007, 2008, but they didn't really become mainstream till around 2010. They are basically handheld electronic devices with a battery that activates a heating element to heat up a liquid that usually contains propylene glycol or vegetable glycerin, nicotine, and flavours.
It's estimated that around 2.9 million people in the UK alone use these e-cigarettes. Do we know how many of those are using them to quit normal cigarette smoking?
Yeah, I mean, that is quite a difficult question to answer, but in surveys that have asked people what the main reason is for using an electronic cigarette, to quit smoking completely comes out consistently as the top reason.
And are there, though, a lot of people who use them recreationally, as it were, in their own right, as a smoking type thing?
Well, amongst current vapers who have quit smoking, there certainly are narratives around pleasure and hobbyist elements, such as creating their own devices, modifying devices and changing the flavours and so on. There are also quite a lot of so-called dual users, i.e. smokers who are also vaping. These could be people who have just tried it once or twice and not particularly got on with it, or these could be people who are transitioning from smoking to full-time vaping.
Before we get into the psychology of smoking and vaping, can we just talk about some of the health aspects? What is it in normal cigarettes that is bad for health?
Well, it's the combustion process, basically, that results in the massive health risks associated with smoking. So when you burn tobacco, it releases 4,000 plus chemicals, over 60 of which are known to cause cancer. So it's really the burning of tobacco that is associated with most of the harms of smoking. So that's the rationale really behind electronic cigarettes and indeed other nicotine delivery devices. So you clean up the delivery mechanism, give people the nicotine that they desire, that is addictive, the reason they smoke, but is not the harmful constituent of tobacco smoking.
Are there any health risks that have been identified with e-cigarettes themselves?
Yes, there are. I mean, nobody is maintaining that e-cigarettes are absolutely safe. Because e-cigarettes are mostly used by smokers, then the obvious comparison is with smoking. Number of studies have looked at toxicants and carcinogens in the e-liquid and in the resulting aerosol. The main harmful components seem to be carbonyl compounds. These are carcinogenic aldehydes, such as formaldehyde and acetaldehyde. And these seem to be present in e-liquid and vapor. But, of course, we must remember that it's the dose that makes the poison. So even when these are present, then compared to tobacco smoke, we're seeing they're like 95% to 99% lower.
According to Lynn, while e-cigarettes do come with their own risks, using them could help smokers reduce the harmful effects of their habit.
Just to move to the psychology of smoking.
And when compared with other smoking cessation products, such as nicotine replacement therapies, e-cigarettes seem to offer much more than just nicotine.
Well, it's generally thought that regular smokers will smoke for the nicotine. It's the nicotine in tobacco cigarettes that makes them addictive. But over time, a number of other things come to be associated with that nicotine delivery, and these can be things like the taste of the cigarette, the catch that the smoker feels in the back of his or her throat, the smell, the cigarette packaging, and so on. And all these other things then come to be associated with the nicotine delivery and then take on some of those kind of pleasurable effects in itself. So, you know, addiction is a complicated phenomena operating not just at the physiological level, but the smoker also becomes to have expectations about what they expect the cigarette will do to relieve craving and anxiety and make them feel better. There's aspects of social identity and so on. And so nicotine, yes, is incredibly important, but there are a number of other things that become kind of pleasurable in their own right about tobacco smoking, the taste, the feel, and so on. But cigarette smoking seems to be the most addictive form of nicotine, partly because the speed of nicotine delivery, which we know is important for addiction. So the faster something reaches the brain and in high quantities, the more addictive we know it to be. But combined with that, tobacco companies will add a whole load of other constituents to tobacco, which increase nicotine delivery, improve taste, alter the pH to make it more addictive.
There's plenty of nicotine replacement therapies out there. Are they effective or do they miss the spot for some smokers?
I mean, randomized controlled trials consistently show that nicotine replacement therapy doubles the chances of smoking cessation success. However, a recent study by colleagues at UCL revealed that when people just buy nicotine replacement therapy over the counter, that doesn't seem to be efficacious in terms of smoking cessation. And there are a number of reasons why that might be. So I think there is still plenty of scope for improving the range of products, therapies that are available for smoking cessation. And of course, none of those products give the hand-mouth action and the feel of smoking, which I've mentioned earlier, becomes so closely associated with the nicotine delivery and become desired and pleasurable in their own right. So e-cigarettes really have the potential to deliver the nicotine and to offer those other secondary reinforcing aspects of smoking as well. And that's probably why they are the most popular method for quitting amongst smokers in England at the moment, much more popular than nicotine replacement therapy.
There's this other concern that comes up with vaping around the fear that it might serve as a gateway to smoking, especially for younger people. Does that seem to hold up in terms of the evidence that we've got so far?
Well, of course, that's a valid concern, isn't it? Yeah, we don't want to be addicting a whole new population of young people who wouldn't have otherwise smoked. So the gateway theory maintains that people who wouldn't have otherwise smoked would start using nicotine through a vaping product and then move on to tobacco smoking. Research from both the UK and the States indicate that actually that is not the case, that there is certainly experimentation amongst young people. But the evidence suggests at present anyway that smoking is not leading to regular electronic cigarette use. But of course, it's something we need to carefully monitor.
I was a chain smoker for most of my adult life. When I extinguished my final cigarette, I was already a non-smoker.
As Lynn says, one of the attractions of e-cigarettes may be that they mimic some of the aspects of regular cigarettes that smokers find appealing. But does this help people to quit?
And most important of all, I've never had the slightest desire to smoke since. I then decided to cure the world of smoking.
Alan Carr was a British author with a 100-a-day cigarette habit. He wrote a best-selling book called Alan Carr's Easy Way to Quit Smoking.
That's why my book and global network of clinics are so successful.
After 30 years of puffing on tobacco, he dedicated his life to helping people to kick the habit. He believed that giving smokers cessation products like patches, gums, and e-cigarettes was a bad idea. They simply kept the addiction alive, he said.
There's a figure that we hear now and again from scientists.
But different approaches work for different people, and e-cigarettes are surely going to be helpful for some. Even if vapors don't quit, research suggests that e-cigarettes are far less harmful than regular smoking. One figure that is often quoted is that e-cigarettes are at least 95% safer than regular cigarettes. I asked Lynn where that figure came from.
So the figure originated from the 2015 Public Health England report and was also quoted in the Royal Physicians report a couple of years later and again in this year's Public Health England report. It's based on a review of many, many studies and actually is probably a conservative figure if we look at the results. Usually, compounds that are present in tobacco smoke are not present at all in e-liquid or e-liquid aerosol, or if it is, around about 1%, 2% that of tobacco smoke. So I think the 95% safer is around the right ballpark.
But it's kind of derived from looking at what is in these products, what are you inhaling, and understanding the kind of the doses and the number of those compounds.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we know what's in the liquid. The evidence derives from cell studies, animal studies, identification of toxicants and carcinogens in the vapor, and also adverse reports from humans. Of course, we don't have the most robust data would be long-term health effects, but we can't wait 10, 20 years to get that information. So based on what we know about the constituents of the e-liquid, we can make some sensible predictions on what we know about what's in them. And of course, in e-liquid, there are far, far fewer chemicals than in tobacco smoke.
So this 95% figure is comparing the health effects of smoking versus e-cigarettes. Has anyone looked at what the health effects of e-cigarettes versus nothing is?
There have been a few studies, yes. Yeah. So, for example, a study from UCL recently compared biomarkers of toxicant and carcinogen exposure in urine, and they compared electronic cigarette users, dual users, nicotine replacement therapy users, and I believe non-smokers as well. Now, compared to those who were smokers who had quit and were exclusively using nicotine replacement therapy, the levels were comparable between that sample and the electronic cigarette users. So it certainly seems that the risks are in the range of those that would be associated with nicotine replacement therapy.
While research into the health effects of e-cigarettes will continue for years to come, many doctors and researchers feel the evidence we already have is good enough to recommend e-cigarettes as an alternative to smoking. As it stands, smoking is responsible for 96,000 deaths per year in the UK. Aside from that great loss of human life, addiction to cigarettes affects society far more broadly. Researchers estimate that the combined direct and indirect costs of smoking to the NHS is about £13 billion a year. The question is, while little is known about the long-term effects of vaping, should the NHS consider prescribing e-cigarettes to reduce the burden of smoking?
If there was one available, then that could be prescribed to smokers trying to stop on top of things like NRT or other medication that can be prescribed.
It's something we'll explore after this short break, when we'll also ask, is there any truth to the popular belief that e-cigarettes are bad for you?
There are many people, I think it's about 50% of individuals surveyed in the ASH survey, who incorrectly believe that e-cigarettes are as harmful or more harmful than tobacco smoking.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to The Start, a brand new weekly podcast from The Guardian.
Without those kind of engaging with reality, I will not become I Wei today.
Each episode reveals a story of artistic beginnings, as told by some of the great artists of our time.
For me, Scandalicious, so much of that was also about me finding my way.
Focusing on one piece, they share how these early moments of creativity shaped them, the influence it had on their subsequent work, and what the piece now means to them in retrospect.
The most I've ever seen in any room, you know, looking at any kind of art, was in Mr. Barnes's two rooms.
To find out more, head over to theguardian.com/podcasts or search The Start on your favourite podcast app.
Welcome back to Science Weekly. I'm Ian Sample. Before the break, we heard from Lynn Dawkins, a psychologist who studies vaping. She helped us break down the figures around e-cigarette use as they stand today. Lynn also mentioned a report published by Public Health England in 2015, an update to which was published on the 12th of February 2018.
So you're one of these dual-use people.
To find out more about that, I spoke with one of the report's co-authors.
Okay, so I'm Leonie Brose. I'm a senior lecturer in the Addictions Department at King's College London.
You were a co-author on the recent e-cigarette report from Public Health England. What did that review set out to achieve?
So the idea was to review the evidence on e-cigarettes for the last 2 years, basically, because we published the last report in August 2015. So PHE wanted us to update the evidence, so we looked at the last 2 years, two and a bit years, and the papers that had come out in that time.
So what does the report say about the safety of e-cigarettes?
It basically reinforces the previous statements that they are much less harmful than smoking tobacco, and there isn't really any risk to bystanders. I mean, ideally, of course, you wouldn't be inhaling anything. I mean, clean mountain air clearly would be better than vaping or anything else, but because almost all vapers are smokers or are ex-smokers, I think the comparison is very valid to compare vaping with smoking, because this is the population we're thinking about. They need to improve what they're doing with their health, or not they, but people who smoke would benefit usually from switching. So it is a valid comparison.
So do we know what the numbers are of people who haven't been previous smokers and just start vaping?
It's very small. So the charity Action on Smoking and Health, for example, runs a survey every year in March. They survey over 12,000 adults in Great Britain, and then it's weighted to be representative of the population. And for, I think, since 2012, they've been asking everyone about using e-cigarettes or vaping, and it's always been around 0.2% of never smokers who say they are currently using an e-cigarette. And in raw figures, that equates to something like 15 people in that survey. So it is not a lot.
So the risks to bystanders, at least, seem to be minimal. But what are the dangers for smokers who want to use e-cigarettes to quit? Doesn't the availability of e-cigarettes just perpetuate the habit?
It sounds as if there could be sort of two-thirds of people.
In fact, according to a recent response to the PHE report in the British Medical Journal, about two-thirds of vapers are so-called dual users.
I'm not sure where the two-thirds necessarily comes from. So in the latest surveys, we actually see that we've got more ex-smokers vaping than smokers nowadays. So it's slightly more than half of all vapers are ex-smokers, so not necessarily two-thirds. And certainly people who vape and smoke should, I mean, ideally would stop smoking, because as long as you're smoking, you're still smoking. And even if you reduce the number of cigarettes, it's still considerably more harmful than vaping only. So I think it is very important to kind of support people who are still doing both to move along to just vape if possible. We also see in some studies that, so where people measured biomarkers of exposure, for example, and for those who were doing both, so vaping and smoking, the reduction wasn't particularly great. So they did not benefit as much as people who switched completely, obviously. But when we look at smokers who are currently vaping and ask them about their motivation to stop smoking, we see that they have a fairly high motivation to stop, so higher than other groups of smokers. So I think it would be worth kind of trying to support those people, encourage them to stop smoking, because that's something they're interested in anyway. And they have often made a step in that direction, and we shouldn't just discard that.
But is there a danger that vaping sort of stops people giving up in a way, that it basically sort of keeps them in, you know, supports them in smoking less on the cigarette front, but maybe it doesn't help them quit?
There is that concern, and some people are more convinced of that being the case than others. There have been some, so basically there has been a lot of research around the issue of vaping and reduction and cessation. And there have been, for example, in the last 2 years, there have been 14 systematic reviews just summarizing the evidence on that issue. And interestingly, even though they can't make, I mean, they have to include the same studies often, or the evidence base they can draw on isn't different, they come to different conclusions. So that's a very interesting area in a way, and it depends on which studies you include. But what we see in the UK is a bit of a clearer picture. So we do see that they are more likely to help people quit smoking.
Are there any numbers that we can put on that link between e-cigarette usage and smoking going down in the UK?
Yes. So what we see in the last few years is that smoking prevalence keeps declining, and more quickly than we've seen in previous decades, for example. And colleagues at UCL have analysed the data very carefully, and what they found is that e-cigarettes have contributed at least 20,000 additional quitters a year to those quitting smoking anyway in England. And they've also looked at the proportion quitting, and with every increase in prevalence of e-cigarette use among smokers, there was a small increase in quitting rates as well, so we can quantify that. And in the PHE review, we try to update the figures, so the additional quitters created by e-cigarette use, and found that it's probably larger than the 20,000, so it could be up to 50,000, but yeah, it's definitely several 10,000 people a year on top of what would be happening anyway.
This fall in the number of smokers will be down to a whole host of reasons. E-cigarettes could well be one of them.
You mean really?
And if they're going to help, is it time for new policies to push them? Coming back to the PHE report, one of the suggestions in it was that there might be a particular type of e-cigarette that could be considered for prescription on the NHS. What was the thinking behind that?
So the thinking behind that is that we have this route of licensing an e-cigarette or a vaping device as a medical device, but no product really is on the market that has gone through that process. And the idea is, if there was one available, then that could be prescribed to smokers trying to stop, on top of things like NRT or other medication that can be prescribed. And most vapers are perfectly happy buying their own devices, but smoking is so concentrated in the more deprived population or communities as well. And there are people for which the costs are just prohibitive. The initial outlay of getting a nice device or even trying different devices until you find one that works is just really a deterrent. And for some disadvantaged groups, I think it would be quite useful to have one device that can be prescribed.
The idea did seem to make the newspapers, or maybe even that's a fair reflection of the public, make them quite uneasy. And I'm wondering why that was.
It's difficult to say. I mean, maybe that people think, well, smokers should just stop with willpower. Why do they need any support? I think that's one aspect that plays into it, that people often see it as a choice to smoke when really it is an addiction that's very hard to break. So I think that's one aspect. Also, it's probably awareness. I don't think many people are aware of just how much money is spent on smoking-related diseases and how many people every day die from smoking, which is about 200 or 250 in Great Britain. So I think it is a bit of awareness. And then if you're not aware of this massive cost to society, then you think, well, why should we spend anything on supporting people to stop?
As Leonie says, the public in general seemed to have some serious misconceptions about the safety of e-cigarettes. It meant that the PHE's suggestion that e-cigarettes be prescribed to smokers was met with some unease. I wanted to find out why. We know things like nicotine patches are already available on prescription to help people get off smoking. Do you see any problems with the sort of public perceptions in being able to hand out e-cigarettes to help people quit? Lynn Dawkins again.
Well, I think broadening our arsenal of available therapies is certainly a good thing. And in terms of people's perceptions of e-cigarettes being prescribed on the NHS, I think this might help to validate the category, actually, because at the moment, there are many people, I think it's about 50% of individuals surveyed in the ASH survey, who incorrectly believe that e-cigarettes are as harmful or more harmful than tobacco smoking. And these perceptions have been going the wrong way. So if an electronic cigarette was licensed as a medicine, that perhaps might help to reassure people that the products are far safer than tobacco smoking.
Beyond this idea of potentially prescribing e-cigarettes for people who want to quit, do you have any other sort of policy ideas that you think would be sensible to roll out?
I think the main thing is to treat electronic cigarettes as a reduced harm product compared to tobacco cigarettes less stringently. So increase the cost of smoking, make it harder to smoke in public places, but don't do the same for vaping. So, you know, smokers find it hard enough to quit and to find the motivation to quit as it is. If they think e-cigarettes are just as harmful and they're just as expensive and they can't vape in many places where they can't smoke, what is the point in trying to switch to a reduced risk product? So vape-free legislation, for example, Public Health England recommend that each institution looks at this very carefully and that at the governmental level there are no blanket bans on vaping in public places. Yet if you look at local authorities, most have treated electronic cigarettes the same as tobacco smoking. So I think just reinforcing that message that the harms of vaping and of passive vaping are far, far lower than for tobacco smoking, and that vaping shouldn't be routinely just shoehorned into smoke-free policies.
Why do you think the local authorities have lumped the two together that way?
I think it's just the easiest thing to do. It doesn't take too much thought. It doesn't take too much research. It's just, let's just treat it as smoking. We're not sure, so this is probably the safest thing to do. We'll just treat it like smoking. And actually, the unintended consequences of making it harder to vape in public places will mean more people smoke.
You spoke about the vaping devices, but you did not say that you oppose electronic cigarettes.
This is a personal vaporizer. We actually don't even call them electronic cigarettes anymore because they're not cigarettes.
I did note that the gentleman did emit smoke.
There's no smoke in this.
With the gentleman,
there's no carcinogens. It's vapor.
I think there's a lot of misconceptions around nicotine, actually, and particularly about e-cigarettes. But it seems that the public still don't have a very clear understanding that nicotine, whilst addictive, is not the harmful constituents of smoking. Although some people are obviously concerned about addiction as well. From the ASH survey, which has been looking at risk perceptions of e-cigarettes compared to tobacco smoking over the last 4 or 5 years, it seems that risk perceptions are going the wrong way. So people are increasingly believing that electronic cigarettes are as harmful or more harmful than tobacco smoking.
Why do you think that is?
Well, we're always seeing media headlines about electronic cigarettes. It's a very topical issue. Electronic cigarettes just as bad as smoking, e-cigarettes cause cancer, and so on. You know, these are headlines that are popping up all the time. And of course, we can't just blame the media. Those headlines stem from press releases, and university press releases may again exaggerate the findings from their original research papers. And then in some cases, the research, the underlying research itself is perhaps not robust either. So I think that's really why people have this misunderstanding.
Special thanks this week to Lynn Dawkins and Leonie Brose. If you want to find out more, we'll include a link to the 2018 PHE report in the episode's description on the Guardian website. If you've got any questions, queries, or feedback, please get in touch via our email address, scienceweekly@theguardian.com. I'm Ian Sample. This is Science Weekly.
For more great podcasts from The Guardian, just go to theguardian.com/podcasts.